This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro. Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break, tell it grieve me. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro.
Good night, Bahamas. And welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Our telephone numbers tonight are 323-6232, 325-4316, and 325-4259. You can text us, powered by BTC, at 422-GR96. And you can listen in Cable Bahamas 969 live. I'm your host, Valentin O'Brien, host of the talk show Inside the Inner City that premieres every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m. except holidays. We are powered by BTC. Our producer in studios today, Mr. Ali, and we have a very special guest, my classmate from D.W. Davis. We went to school from 7 to 11. Then I got a transfer in 91-92 to see how I walk off. Ever since, we've been good friends, and his name is Philip Grier. He's in studios today. But before we get to my special guest, you know, we want to talk about his career. We want to talk about some things that are happening in the Bahamas and how he could give a solution, maybe to the government, maybe to the leaders of the country, on a solution with some of our problems in the country. So we're going to have him chip in today, but definitely it's going to be a very, very interesting show. I want to give a word of thanks to this wonderful family, the Knowles family, Sean Knowles. And then, you know, they listened to me on the radio for many, many years, surprised to me. I'm so grateful and, you know, excited at the same time that so many people, you know, love what I'm doing as a radio talk show host, but also as a community leader, talking on matters that, you know, concern the general public, and we are talking real life and coming up with great solutions to the country's problem. And I really appreciate each and every one of you, but also to this special senior citizen, Mr. Sean Knowles' mom. She sent a special request. She told him that she listens to me every Friday. She said, I'm outspoken, that I'm doing a very good job, that I'm not biased. And I'm glad that many people who are listening around the world and in the country see that they are honest people who are only concerned about the welfare of the country, you know, what's right in the country and finding the right solution. You know, there are people who just naturally care. It's not about the money. It's not about the fame. It's just doing that what God has directed you to do. There might be criticism. It's a lot of hard work, a lot of disappointments. But guess what? Many of us are chosen to come here and shine a little bright light in the dark spot. And I'm glad that I'm one of them. I'm glad that people who are listening and listening to me know that I'm a genuine, honest person. And the only thing I'm concerned about is the welfare of the country. I'm concerned about the children. I'm concerned about the elderly. I'm concerned about the community. I'm concerned about the illegal immigrants in the country. I'm just a poison, and I'm just glad that many of you see that in me. And I hope to encourage many others to be just like that, to be open, you know, to be open to see that we are here to make a difference in the lives of each and every one of us, and that's what we're chosen for. And the wonderful name of Sean's mom is Miss Diana Knowles. I want to say a special request to Mrs. Diana Knowles, the mother of Sean Knowles and the whole entire Knowles family, and all of the listeners who take the time to listen on a Friday, listen to all the shows on Guardian Radio, and really, really I appreciate you guys very, very much. Okay? And before I let my guests come on the show, just last week I was talking a little bit about empowerment. I'm talking about the family business. I want to interject because I don't want to like the damaged people business. Last week when I mentioned the palm tree, there's actually a continuation palm tree that's on Blue Hill Road. That's the son of Mr. Russell. The first palm tree I was referring to is the one that I grew up with on Market Street that everyone knew. I used to work there as a young kid, you know, and I was very disappointed that it closed down. You know, many of us in the community, you know, that was like our McDonald's, our Kentucky, you know. We could go to get double burger, triple burger, you know, and the best tasting dinners, you know, and it was just extremely profitable to our community, you know, and I was a little disappointed that, you know, it should have been a continuation. But there's a second one on Blue Hill Road that is doing extremely well, and that is a palm tree also. So I just want to piggyback on last week to let you know that the one on Blue Hill Road is doing extremely well too, and that's the son of Mr. Russell. In fact, he's identical to Mr. Russell. But on Market Street, man, that palm tree. When you're talking about family-owned business, what each and every family should strive to be, you know, because this business can have the second generation, it can have the third generation, because it's a business that could be transferred from one sibling to the next, or the next nephew, or the next family member. Like the Butlers, you know, they have the Butlers Ma, they have the Butlers Funeral Home, you know, and stuff like that. So I just want to say that to the palm tree, that the one in Blue Hill is doing extremely well. And I was referring to the last one on Market Street that has been closed now about 20, 25 years, probably even 38. What do you say, fella? Probably 25, 30 years. And ever since, you know, the structure is still there. And I was saying that so many unemployed people in the country, you know, and many of the young people around the road are stagnated, don't know where to start. So if we don't get back to our original small business thinking, which is big business, you know, remember, 40 years ago, we had close to about 5,000 small businesses in the inner city community. On every corner. Okay?
Petty shops,
convenience stores, barbers, fishermen, painted vendors, tailors, you know, and there was never an unemployment problem in the country or a crime problem in the country. But ever since we ran away from that infrastructure, we have lost our way. So I just wanted to say that to those who were listening last week to clarify what I was really talking about. I was talking about the courage and the keeping the family business alive and well. Siblings and family members could have a problem, you know, with one another, but they got to understand the importance of keeping the business open, because it's generation wealth. Many of us, we don't have generation wealth. Many of us come from poor. So when you have the opportunity to create generation wealth, you should have a structure in the family that understands this. Me and brother and sisters might not like one another, but we understand that, hey, we have to keep our father or our mother business going, because they work so hard for what they achieve. Now we're going to come there and screw it up because we, my mother and daddy, become rich, or my granddaddy and my grandmother become rich, and they spoil you, or not spoil you, they give you the best that you could ever imagine for your books, your pen, your latest clothes, calculators, and et cetera. But you were never taught how they work hard and what they had to do to get this business up and running, to get the customers, to make this place $1,000, to make this place $5,000, $10,000, and then go to $20,000 and then up. You understand? And that's what I'm talking about. Not the be disrespectful to no one family, no one business. But many of the behemoth businesses that's supposed to be continuous are broken down because brothers and sisters or cousins cannot get along, and they rather let the place rot to the ground and disrespect their elders and what they did to achieve those, to make their lives better. That's what I was referring to. You know, and it's all around the country. It's evident. Okay, I got my good friend, Philip Cryer. Philip. There's the mic. First time in studio.
Which one? That one
there. First time in studio.
Yep.
You're going to talk in the mic.
It's about time I'm here.
All right.
Long time coming.
Okay. This is my friend Philip Cryer. Like I said earlier, we went to school from 7th to 11th grade. But before we get there, he told me his mom just had a birthday splash. So tell us a little about this because she really deserves it. So we're going to give her a shout out tonight. Go ahead, my brother.
Well, my mother, she turned 90 on Tuesday.
90?
Yes, 90.
She didn't pass the three score?
90, yes.
Oh, Lord.
So it was a wonderful time for her. So we gave her a little celebration. It was nothing too out the box. It was just family and a couple of her friends who really shared that great moment with her. And right now, she's still in her glory, still celebrating, still happy.
Well, she deserves it, you know. And many of us in the country, you know, it's 90. She lived past a three score and what do you call it, score and 10?
10, yes.
Okay, so that's longevity. And I mean, she's been blessed with many other years because of the goodness and the kindness. We talked about a little earlier that carries you on and God protects you and that gives you long life.
Correct. She's still walking, still doing the things that she's always been doing. And, you know, it's just great to see that she's still active in everything. You know, a lot of folk don't make it to 90, but thank the Lord she's still here.
Yeah. And I want to also give a shout out to his mom. Congratulations on your 90th birthday. I hope you had a wonderful time. I hope you had the biggest slice of cake.
Two of them.
I'd like to give us some information about the community before we begin. In the Grandstand community, the Taylor Street, the Hay Street, and Lewis Street area, Anderson area, all of the side corners. We have like about 19 to 21 side corners in partnership with Salem Union Baptist Church and the government of the Bahamas and the community of that small community. They will be doing a complete cleanup, working with the Ministry of Environment, Salem Union Baptist Church, myself, and many others, and we'll be doing a complete cleanup in that community. Also, if you offer bulk wakes anywhere in your yard, you can contact Salem Union Baptist Church, any one of the pastors, and you could give them the direction, and they could assist you to put in the trash and put in the bin there to your accessibility to remove the trash. Okay, that's going on. Also, if you have a roof problem or damage, a window or door or something, that and you have papers for the property or the building, and maybe you might not have the papers, you know, but anyway, they will be doing also home repair in that constituency. Again, working with the Ministry of Urban Renewal. So, you know, this is what we're doing to help change the directory in our community, working together as a team, presenting the plan to government, and then executing. So that's what we're doing in the community. So, in those particular corners, if you live in those areas, you have a house that is leaking, might need your bathroom fixed, get in contact with Salem Union Baptist Church. There's a pastor there by the name of Raymond Roll, under the leadership of Pastor Hugh Roll. You can go there and give your information. And in about 2-3 weeks, I think the program's going to start, and they can assist any way possible. Okay? That's what we're doing. We're working together, finding the problem, and presenting a solution. You know, we're not sitting back, Philip, no more. We're getting the church together. We're getting the community together. And we're going to help people in those communities, highways and byways. Okay, I got my good friend Philip in studios. Okay, Philip, I brought you in studios today because you're visiting the Bahamas again. You are a person who in the school. You stayed over here for many years. You were a horse and carriage driver.
Yes.
For many, many years.
Yes.
You always had that work in mind to be able to go there and earn an honest living. And you've been doing it for many, many years. Then, like over 15, 20 years, you know, and you know, you always had a lot of money in your pocket, you know, big conks and stuff like that, you know. But you always said, man, I need more than that, man. It's just 1 week pay in 2 weeks pay, you know. I need a house, I need a car, man. Right now, it ain't working for me over here, man. You know what I mean? You can't find no good job and et cetera. And you say, man, Scoochie, I can tell you this now. Next 2-3 months I can save a couple of dollars and I gone. And man, that's over 20 some years, right, brother?
Yeah.
20 something else remembers like they, you know, they look at you. And I said, man, I wish you the best of luck, you know. And you parked up and you left. Well, tell us a little about that.
Well, at that time, I was going through a phase in my life where, you know, you get fast money, but you didn't have no insight on what to do with it. And you put yourself in a situation where you say, you know what, I have money, but I don't have education to go with it. You know, a lot of people run into a bunch of money, but if they don't have the insight and the wisdom to do with it, it's gone. And just being a part of the streets, it wasn't making no sense. You know, my first job, when I went to the States, I tried to go to McDonald's. And McDonald's was like, you need a GED. A what?
A GED?
A GED.
Grade point average?
What's that? We didn't have that in Dollywood. And it was like, yeah, you graduated. And I was like, I ain't graduated from the Don Lewis. I have a tendency letter to say that, hey, I attended Don Lewis. Better find your way in someone's school. I say, well, I've been all these years. Now I got to go get a GED. So when I found out that's what I needed, I was in a community college. And after that, education, it seemed like the same education that they was given in Don Lewis for free, now I got to pay for it, and it opened the door, it opened my mind to say that this what I need, this what I needed, and I just keep on going and going and going, and it just put me to almost to the top of the ladder.
So how able was able to survive just going over there? You know, you said you saved, you know, you told me you saved some money and you just left. You had any family, friends?
Yeah, I have sisters and brothers living in Miami. And,
fortunate.
Yeah, and that was a good help.
Okay.
But when you come from a family that will welcome you, but then at the same time telling you, hey, you only welcome for a minute.
Of course.
You know, so you got to have a plan on how long you're going to be here, what you're going to do, and how soon you're going to do it. And that's what ended up happening to me.
Wow. Did it work out?
Did it. Up to this point, it's still working out because I'm still doing good.
Wow. Awesome. So, did you go to work to McDonald's?
No, I didn't get the job to McDonald's.
So, what you do now? You get GPA?
I went to school, and I keep on going from community college. Community college, then I went to a four-year college, then went to university.
Wow. So, you just went and keep on getting education. Your mind just because...
It just opened up because with education, when you get to a point in your life, it's something what you want. And then you say, I want this. I need this. I got to have it. And that's what happened.
So...
I just keep on going because it was something what I want.
But earlier you stated that when you was in D.W. Davis, you
said... Lunchtime, break time, and fun time was the best time in school. It's the truth.
That's where your mind was.
That's where my mind was, because I didn't have no one to sit down with me and say, hey, at the end of the day, education is what you're going to need to survive in today's world. Mm. You're going to need it. The old folks used to say, boy, you better get the education while it's free. Mm. And now I found myself telling my kids the same thing. And so now I'm steering them in the right direction that, hey, come on, let's do this. Let's do this. We got to do this.
So if we're going to cash this around the world, and you had to get education because in order for you to achieve your goal, what are these kids now who just going to school and say lunchtime, like how you said, it's just fun. What are we going to do?
Be in trouble because there again it goes back to someone grabbing their hand and sit down and say, hey, this is what you need.
Listen, we are hearing about going cashless, but we are not hearing these things being introduced in the inner city community as a part of curricula. We're hearing the banks and government do it. But what about the unemployed people? What about the people who are as educated?
This what I feel
Go ahead.
Should happen. Every community should have a center where folk can come to the center and there should be someone to put these things in place.
Wow.
Hey, this is free. Come on, man. Let me take 1 hour. Let me sit down with you. You have at some schools,
Talking to Mike from us. Kids. You're doing so well. Look what you use a professional in the areas.
In some schools.
Yes, sir.
You have kids in the 11th and 12th grade
mm-hmm.
having problem with reading. Having problem with reading. Because their mind right now is so focused on, let me just get out of school. It's something better. Let me get out of school. But then when they get out of school and they realize that, hey, you do need education, then now they stuck and they stranded, they on the corner begging.
And this guy, this is real reality, you know. Right now, what he's speaking about, speaking on this matter, this is happening to thousands of young boys and young girls right now in our country. Mm-hmm. Right now, mm-hmm. in our country right mm-hmm. now.
I had a guy, in the States, we call him panhandling. He was on the corner panhandling. And I mm-hmm. say, he said, give me $2. I say, man, I can't give you $2. I could give you an application. You know what he tell me? Man, I ain't ready to work. But you standing here asking for $2. Mm-hmm. So to fix this problem, how and what? Education.
And like you say, each community should be able to supply a community center
yes.
to teach them about
yes.
recurring
yes.
cash, teach yes. them about, you know, teach them about business, you know, because all this is education. You know, I agree with you fully. And you just gave a prime example of solution. That's why I wanted you to come in to the studio today. So on your journey, when you said you went to college, you spent 4 years in college. How was that experience to you?
Well, going to college,
mm-hmm.
and if it's not in your mind, you're going to find yourself getting bored, want to come home.
Mm.
But I'm making it. But when you think about the goal,
mm-hmm.
at the end of the day, at the end of it, what is going to happen? You're just going to stay there and keep on pushing, keep on pushing, keep on pushing, because you know at the end of it, there's goal at the end of the line. You're seeing the rainbow. You're working towards it. You want to meet your goal. And that's what we need to do as individuals, help one another to meet their goals.
Mm-hmm. You think we're doing that in the Bahamas? At a desperate rate, or we just lax and not taking it serious?
Well, from what I've been seeing and what I've been understanding, I think that they're doing it, but they're more centered on themselves.
Mm.
I'm talking about leaders. Leaders, they're focusing on how, or they're starting programs, and mm-hmm. first thing they're doing with these programs is trying to see what they could get out the program
mm-hmm.
to better themselves or to create a name for themselves,
mm-hmm.
vice versa, trying to help the person
individually to become their goal.
Yes.
So
yes.
even those who say they want to help, sometime use that opportunity to try and betray themselves. I understand what you're saying.
You know, to make a name for themselves. That's what I'm saying. Now, mind you, they mean good.
I understand exactly what you're saying.
But if you have 20 programs,
mm-hmm.
you have 20 programs, and you have 100 persons in every program. How many persons do you think is successful in those programs?
Good point.
But whoever is over the program now is carrying this name that, hey, this is my program and I got a wonderful and successful program. Mm. But how much people of that program end up successful?
So you're trying to say now, you have this program that you're vying for. You need to see, well, how many persons turning business owners, how many people became police officers, how many people became dentists, you know, and then you could give an account to see if your generosity and your leadership skills
correct.
If merit you,
if
what
you really,
you're saying.
If you really look at it, in every community,
mm-hmm.
in every area, we have doctors,
mm-hmm.
we have lawyers,
mm-hmm.
we have police officers,
mm-hmm.
we have successful kids
mm-hmm.
in the making.
Yeah. We have everything.
In the making.
Yes.
But before they get to where they're going, they go down this shallow road
because
they don't have no guidance.
They go on a shallow road where they go in this community where they are not focused on their education. They're not focused on their future. They're more focused on drinking, talking people business, cursing, carrying on, having sex, taking drugs, being disobedient, eh? And they could run the road.
That's it.
And then, and I forget the government has paved the road every 5 years.
And if you notice, graveyards don't get empty.
Okay, my brother. Okay, my brother.
They make space.
They make space.
So you have to determine what you want to do in this life and make it happen.
Okay, I'm going to, since you're talking about that, I'm going to just go to the spot. Okay. How long have you been living in the States?
It's going now for 27 years.
27, wow. And your oldest child?
The oldest child is now 26.
Wow. Hold on, so in your first year, hold on, let me see this now.
College child.
The college child. So this may, so the opportunity presented itself where you end up in a relationship, where you end up?
Yes, I got married.
You ever think you would get married in Nassau, the Bahamas?
Well.
At that age, right then and there?
Yes.
Yeah, if you had.
But my mind wasn't there. My mind wasn't there. So it would not have worked. Would not have worked.
Would not have worked. Mm-mm. Okay, so when you came over here, your mind was open. You see the opportunity and the possibilities.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, okay. So it's like, they always say that exposure, you know, can actually change the mindset of an individual.
Yes.
Because he's seeing different things now. He's seeing train tracks. He's seeing studios, ballparks, you know, fighter jets. And just
and you see, the big word you can use is you see an opportunity.
Opportunities. And you become any one of these.
It's a door. Just pick which one you want to go through.
And here in the Bahamas, we don't have that door. We have to create
that door.
Well,
we have doors. We have doors. But why go through a door that your mind is already thinking that there's nothing through that door? Because of the negativity that's around you.
That's the community.
It's basically telling you, he's not behind there for you. Leave that door alone. Don't go that way. He's nothing there for you. But the same persons who telling you don't go through that door is the same people who working towards that door. They on the other side because they basically holding the information to themselves.
Wow, crazy. So you spent 27 years in the States and your first year, you end up with your first child. And how many kids you say you have?
I have four now.
Four. Okay. And on your journey, after you finished college, you decided to take a profession. And why did you choose that particular profession? I mean, there's many opportunities, but why did you choose to pick that particular profession?
Well, the profession that I chose was to join the service.
The service.
Being from Donald Davis, actually, I was a problem child in school.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, wanted to fight everybody, wanted to fuss at everybody, wanted to do this and wanted to do that. But then I saw an opportunity. And when that opportunity presented itself, I said, hey, this is where I need to be, this is what I need to do, and this is something what is in me, and someone brought it out me.
Someone brought it out. Imagine what you said just now about Don Livers. You was in school, you was a mischievous, you liked to fight, and you was disobedient. Now, why would you go to the States and then want to join a fraternity that teaches you discipline?
Well, there it goes back. Leadership.
Leadership.
No one stepped to the plate to say and grab me and say, hey, I see something in you. I see something in you. And I can help pull it out you. See, everyone needs help. No man is an island.
Yes, sir.
No man is an island.
Wow.
And that's what needs to happen as community leaders.
Yes, sir.
We could see them. But we just need to say, hey, man, come here, man. Let me talk to you. Let me take you under my wing for a second.
Wow.
Talk to me. Tell me what's going on in your family. Yeah. Have you eat today? What's going on? But before we do that to a kid, we just shun them away. We shun them away.
You think we get black crab syndrome? Well,
I wouldn't say black crab syndrome. We just to a point where we more
about. We don't care.
And that back in the day.
We care.
We cared.
Remember, all of us used to walk to school, share our sandwiches, do everything, our parents, you know?
We cared. because we came from a family where
oriented.
You had the grandmother in the home,
mm-hmm.
grandma in the home. Now you got in the community,
mm-hmm.
you have grandma who's 31.
Yep. And our grandmothers back in the day was like, what, 60-something? 60, 50? They was like 60-something. Yeah. We call grandmother back in the day 60-something. 50, 60-something, then great-grandmother. Like 70 around that time. So you're correct. And now they are what, 31?
31.
So where they in nightclub with their daughter?
Dressed alike.
And where the daughter is?
Who?
Huh?
There you go. That's the answer to that.
So, oh, wow. So.
In order for the community to get back to what it was,
mm-hmm.
we have to step back. We have to step back a second.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to stop what we're doing and just look and see how we can help and make ways to help.
Well, you think we learn anything? Okay. Just recently, you know, we had a man shot there at Harbor Bay Plaza, and you know, I saw a college read, you know, he's explaining it on Eyewitness News. And he was talking about how the guy became a pastor and then he had mm-hmm. some troubles and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, probably he was in jail and got bail, but he was charged with a serious offense. But we are seeing that every week, 2 weeks, we are seeing a pardon of persons get charged with murder, getting released on bail. When they come back on the streets, they are collateral damage. You know, like they don't last a minute. What you think is going on with that type of mentality in the country? Whereas you were charged with murder or serious offense, so people are supposed to be afraid of you. So you go to prison, you get charged by the Royal Bahamas Police Force, the investigation department. You go before the courts. The courts remind you based on the charge. You go to prison. Now, when you're released in prison, because, like I said, prison can't hold all of the guys charged with serious offenses because we have 100+ murders per year. There's no prison in this Bahamas that is going to hold 100 persons every year who are getting charged with murders. Impossible. They have to be able to release people and make space for the new murder charge, like how we are one every 2-3 days. So we're going to have to release those who charged 6-7 months prior to a previous murder charge and make space for them. For this one who just did a murder charge like yesterday. So there's no way, unless we be able to decrease the incarceration in the country. So what you think, Philip?
Well, it's kind of touchy because you have to look at it like this. You know, we strayed away from forgiveness. We strayed away from letting things go. And, you know, the government now have to step in and say, hey, we need to find a better way to deal with this situation. We have to find it. I mean, even Meso has it, you know, I remember one time ago they was talking about building a bigger prison on the old island. They was thinking about building a bigger prison. You know, back to the kids. The kids, them watching TV.
Mm-hmm.
And they bring in the TV life to the street.
Mm-hmm.
Man, he did this to my family, but we're going to get, whenever we see him, we can just deal with him. So it's like the government saying, hey, we only could hold this person for so long, which is correct.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand,
in the community,
waiting, the person coming back as a sitting duck.
Because you explained it earlier, the community has no leadership, so you have a community that there's no employment, no business owners, so you have persons stagnant selling drugs or who's selling drugs during some type of breaking and entry or some type of illegal activity, and they're in this community, and they're waiting on this guy because while he's in prison, he have to talk about who he's going to kill and what he's going to do, and the news is spread, and when he comes out, he ends up hanging around the street. He's a sitting duck.
He's a sitting duck.
But I thought people were supposed to be scared. I mean, he just killed a couple of people.
Listen, Scoochie.
Mm-hmm. Educate me
more. We all equal. I used to think I was the baddest man out there.
So,
but then I realized the same way how I sit down and put on my pants,
mm-hmm. So
the next person put on his pants the same way.
So what you trying to say?
So
my pants might be bigger than your pants.
But you still put 1 foot in it at a time.
I have a 22
You put 1 foot in it at a time, right? You don't put 2 foot in one punt, one punt's leg.
Mm-hmm.
So when you think you bad, someone out there with the same mentality, thinking they badder than you.
But I just shoot your boy up by the club the other day. You think I wearing with you?
Yeah, that ain't nothing. Like
you don't get it too?
Like the old fella, like the old fella say, they didn't make one gun. You see what I'm saying? I mean, it's crazy.
So why say shooting up this place, and I and my arc of causing pain and destruction, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not knowing to me that a little later on.
While you thinking about doing all of that, now watch this.
Mm-hmm, go ahead.
They thinking they big and bad.
Mm-hmm.
But as big and bad as I see them is, and when in the police station, they crying like baby.
What they tell the police everything? What they do? They tell the police things they do for what their friend do. Hey, but listen, I can tell you this. Listen to me.
The fella put on a book and started talking things what he ain't did yet.
Listen to me, people. I just rather call out of the day, right? So the police is tearing up the corner, you know, they had some murders. Just recently. So, you know, I said, nah, boy. I say, oh, a little hard, young little guy around the corner, and he mowed hard, you know, and boy, he always get a slick talk, but ooh, he's smart and this one. I say, yeah, watch this, you're mowed hard. I say, you could be the same one when the man hold you. Watch, I could be just sitting on the same chair, and I could hear everything.
Mom,
when they listen, when they listen, boy, you know, he's getting rid of, you know, when they move out and they believe they don't listen nobody and they believe this and that. I say, watch. Eh? I said, nah, when they listen, nigga says, Daddy Scrooge, you see a boy, look like he's driving a CDU car. Say, he pull up around the corner and they let him out the box seat, but they ain't even open the door. He opened the door. I said, well, I said, this is the same one. Who tell me, but boy, and this and that, and he's the mastermind, but when he gets, go ahead.
And the craziest thing with this get me, right?
Uh-huh.
When the police grabbed him and draped him up the first and they hollered, man, I know my rights.
No, police be joking.
Yeah, I know my rights. Mm. Okay. What is it? But then they in the station, man, officer, man, you know, I ain't meant to do that, man, and I ain't this and all that, but you was out there putting on a whole show.
Yeah.
It need to stop.
Yeah.
It need to stop.
So what would you say to the guys who are thinking they're so macho that they could go there and hurt people and they're shooting and they're doing all this and they believe that they're not going to get touched? What would you say to them? Is it an illusion?
Brothers, it doesn't make any sense. The things which you're doing, one day is going to look you in the face and you got to face it. You got to face it. Stop while you got a chance. What did Ronnie Butler say? Listen to the voice of experience.
Mm-hmm.
The best teacher.
Of course. Yeah.
The best teacher.
You know, like I could go on. I hang with some of the roughest and most dangerous set of people in this country. And we could give a list. Fella, we don't have to call none of their names in the studio. And we could give this me and him right now could give it a list of people on East Street and around there who we knew. That could equivalent to about 500 to 600, probably even 1,000 people who we know got slaughtered on the same street in Newton Providence. Hard-head young man, just like y'all who listen to the show today, believe you could go over there and shoot people up, and yeah, you shoot back up.
It's coming.
It's coming.
It's coming.
It's coming.
What the Bible say? You live by it.
You die by it.
You die by it.
So you better change your mind.
So while you have a chance to say, man, like you, and the thing about it, the police gonna win all the time.
Why are they going to win?
Because they are the law. You can't beat the law. The law was made to Ben Ayen.
You won't believe this?
So if you think you could beat the law, hey.
Hey.
You be the first.
I figured this out. That's why I stopped doing badness. So that's how I figured out. And I just want to back up what you're saying. You know, we tough. We rough. You know, we always going at it with the police. But guess what? A new squad of police comes out every year. And you know something? Every year a new squad comes out. So, am I going to fight this new squad every year? And I'm getting older. So, every year, new squad come out, right? So, if I'm on the run, right? Me, I'm on the run 48 hours a day, right? Just say I'm on the run. The police change shift. You understand? They change shift. So, that means they ain't got to work hard for me. They changing shift, and they're going to wait that time out. So, you can't beat the system. That's why Bob Marley say what? He shoot the what? He shoot the sheriff, but he ain't shoot the deputy. Now, why didn't you say, I shot the sheriff? But listen. But I didn't shoot the deputy, because he know if he shoot the sheriff and he kill the sheriff, you know what the deputy's going to do. The deputy's going to come. And that's when I figure out, you can't beat the system.
No, man.
You can't beat the system.
Just live right. That's all you got to do. Just live right. Wake up every morning and just thank the Lord for waking you up, for you to see another day.
And youngsters.
Go to work.
And I'm glad my friend come in the studio today. And youngsters, listen to me. It's because, you see me? Everywhere I go, the police could have find me. I say, boy, my secret going hot. Listen to me. But yes, because I say you could be hiding and no one see you. And all of a sudden, the police come. Like, you speak Christ, or if you do something and you hide, no, you have some problem, argument, or someone trying to kill you. Boy, listen, but I know where the little youngsters, listen to what we have to say tonight. Get your education. If there's someone out there who you know you have a problem with, and you, if it's not too serious, and even if it's serious, a little one-on-one to try and dissolve it, or to try and avoid it altogether, you better do this stuff, because no one's winning this battle. What are we up to? We up to, we almost up to about 80, must seem 80-something murders for the year. Okay?
Man, listen. In my office in the States,
mm-hmm.
I have my Bahamian flag on my desk. And people will say, man, why you still got this flag here? And you know what I say? I say, Bahamian. And to hear they talk about how the crime is in the Bahamas, it makes me want to put my head down. But I lift my head up, and you know what I say? But the Bahamas is an awesome place.
It's a beautiful place.
It's an awesome place. Mm. Some parts of the world got 50 and 60 killings a day.
Mm-hmm.
2 killings in the Bahamas a week is too much.
Yeah.
So imagine a day.
And we're only 21 by 7. That's 7 it. In the island, 7 in Key. So even wasting them, I mean, like you say, you know, 60 a day and all that stuff. But we just a 21 by 7, so we even waste on this country. And that's why we need to fix this problem.
Something has to be done.
You know, if you look at it per capita, we are a conflict zone, you know.
You know,
the 21 by 7.
You can't say it's political.
No.
This have nothing to do with political.
Because everyone getting slaughtered in this.
You know, this have something to do with us as individuals need to learn how to get together. How just to say, hey, man, I'm sorry.
And help bring some leadership and opportunities.
Yeah.
You want? I'm going to take this one call. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Any City. I get it.
The wrong up in the
Universe, along with you, Scrooge.
Good night, good night.
The brethren.
Yes, sir.
Scrooge, we need justice, law, and order in this country. You know, I'm here listening to y'all brothers, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, you got to go a little higher. You got some of those people who are making the law. They're causing a big problem also. You see, they want money. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And some of the foolishness they're doing to some people, some of the people in which they does it to don't like it, and they can respond to it. And that's what causes some men in this country getting problem. See, don't think because all those people making the law, they are decent guys. Okay, or decent women.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them causing the biggest problem to the society, to the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because they're doing foolishness, and when it does their foolishness, the people who they do it to, they're looking back and, you know, just on illustration, right? They can say, I can get you for that. Or if they don't get them then, They're angry,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it can cause them to do something else.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's happening in our little country, Scrooge. Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me ask this question. You said it's the person what makes the law.
It's causing those people.
That makes the law. So do you realize that no one is above the law?
No one is above the law, but I agree no one is above the law. But you see, in this country today, if you get money, you could get anything done. and certain people are holding people from getting some money to get something done. Mm-hmm. Some people could hardly eat in this little country, the Bahamas,
yeah,
or in Nassau.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So what are they going to do?
So does that still give you the right to rob?
I am not saying it give anybody right,
mm-hmm,
but it's just that's what's happening.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's what's happening.
Yes,
you know, sir. you're gonna have God in you to suffer or to starve.
I think I understand what you're saying.
You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, those people, and those, most of those people in authority, they don't care about me or you. Them and their family, they're straight.
Okay.
Me and you, we gotta go hustle.
That's
right. If you don't know the way to hustle, dog, eat our lunch. And it's the same thing with youngsters under us.
Yeah.
I see youngsters going, when it's time for dinner, I remember when I was going to school, 3:30, I reach home from school. My mother already cooked. Mm. I see youngsters going and buying cold cups to go to bed on.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I sell that. You see what I'm saying? But that's how hard it is.
It's hard.
And I don't want anybody to carry on like it's not hard in the Bahamas or it's not hard in Nassau.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? I like what you're all doing, but
in a butt.
That's the situation.
Yes, it's a butt. Yeah, you're right. You're right, sir.
And this is Brayman Darling Ferguson saying that. I know what's happening. And I was out here a long time. I'm still out here. Okay, I got great grandchildren. Okay? So I know what's happening. And like you're saying, something got to give. It's got to stop.
Yeah.
But those that's in authority got to start doing the right thing.
Yes, sir.
Thank you for your time, Steve.
No problem. You did an awesome job. And reference.
Say it again?
You did a very wonderful job.
Thank you, Scrooge.
Very nice.
Take care.
You too as well. And the point, what he's talking about, right, in reference, when he talked about the leaders, right, there's a dispute going on in Facebook now between former minister Leslie Miller on his property where he's leasing to government. And then there you've seen, like, talking about $30 million contract, you know, which he's a behemoth and he has his business with government. But like you say, are we going to invest $30 million in small business development? Are we going to invest $30 million in the education program to give scholarships to kids to go and all this stuff? But we could give a Leslie Miller $30 million. You understand? Rich and he, as a behemoth, is entitled to that. But what we're saying is what Brayman is trying to give reference to the leaders up there. And that's where the majority of behemoth taxpayers' money is going. The money is not going where it needs to go, for example. You know, $30 million. Yes, like I say, Leslie Miller deserved that. That's his building. He worked hard for it over the years, accumulated, but he also got it from government businesses and was able to accumulate a lot of the funds from the behemoth taxpayers being a part of a government institute of a political party. So in that, his success came from the poor people, but yet still we're not getting nothing back, but yet still the government of the country is giving back to their supporters and party, you know, you understand? Now, it's not illegal, but if you look at it, it's been hurting us because we're not getting that kind of investment when we're having 100 murders, when we're having so many kids being abused, when we get people have housing problems in the country, people have mortgage problems in the country, mortgages. You understand? There's so much going on in the country right now. We have kids who are going to school without tennis and shoes, okay, in the country. But yet still, we could give one individual, like I say, he rightfully deserves it. But are we thinking, you know, you said it earlier, are we thinking in the right direction to stop this where we get a young man going to prison, right, for a murder charge, right, thinking people scared of him. He comes on the road. He might kill one or two people, but he dead in 1-2 months' time. But we have this repeated occurrences in the country.
Repeated cycle.
Yes. We can take this last call and then I'll let you get back. Go ahead, caller. Oh, I cut it late. Sorry, that's my bad. I ended up pressing the button. Okay, my bad. Sorry, that's my bad. My hand was too fast. Then I'm going to let you get back. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside In the City.
Hello.
Yeah, good night.
Yes, good night. I'd like to speak with Scrooge.
You're speaking.
Okay, hi. Mr. Brown.
Yes, sir.
How are you doing tonight?
I'm fine, sir.
This is your mysterious caller.
Okay, excellent.
I'll tell you something. I met Mr. Reed.
Okay, yeah, that's good.
I'm the gentleman that called him.
Yes,
I don't like him.
Yes, you don't like him, but you like him now.
Listen, me and him had a lovely conversation.
He said on Facebook, you know. He said it on Facebook. Excellent.
I told him I even thinking about coming to church one day.
Oh, that's good.
I'm listening to the show again, as usual.
Yes, sir.
And you know what a friend of mine told me in college? He said, I heard y'all talking about it more, the police and all of that. The police practice every day and all of that. To shoot you. You don't have a chance to practice. And it's more of them than you.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So these fellas practicing how to get you. And like you say, they change shit on you. And these young boys don't understand that. Now, look, I'll give you a case in point. What I used to do in school. The bad boy who comes in my class. Before I put him, I try with him because I don't want to just put him out. So I would tell him, I'd say, okay, listen, this is what we're going to do. The next class you come in, it's your day. You do what you feel like. If you want to skip the class, do whatever you want to do. But when you come to the next class, it's my class. And I am in charge.
Mm-hmm.
And do you know, after a while, he blend right in? Because he realized now, the foolishness he used to do is what is expected. Mm-hmm. Nobody paid attention to him.
Mm-hmm.
So he eventually ended up coming out of that foolishness on his own.
Yes,
right.
You change his mindset.
Right. See, so this is last week when I said we have to talk more to the children.
Yes, sir.
And find out how they're thinking.
Yes. Right. Right. Yes.
And what the people? Now I'm going to go to the people in charge. The people in charge, they are criminals by the pen.
Yes.
The pen is a more powerful tool than the gun.
Yeah, very mm-hmm. more powerful.
And we are here with the gun, so it makes us look bad, but you don't want to know the things
with the pen
they're doing with the power of a pen.
Yes, sir.
Now, take case in point. Our prime minister tried to get a meeting with the gentleman with the coin thing. But we don't know what was behind all of that. Now, I don't know how a historian or a culture person wants to get over into finances. I'm not, especially that big financing. A man with a billionaire and a man who's writing history. Mm-hmm. I don't see the comparison.
Yes, sir.
But that is all here and all there. I can't judge. But we have to talk more to the students, the children. When I'm at my business and a child comes in or walks past me, I would say good morning or good afternoon. And they keep, I say, hey, come here. Good afternoon or good morning. Mm-hmm. Oh, good morning. But well, we don't require them to say that anymore.
You're going to teach them.
Because all these rights they got.
Correct.
They're losing their manners, their respect. Mm-hmm. And I always tell them, listen, nobody loves a rude child, no matter how intelligent you are. They're not going to give you any education, any wisdom and knowledge. Try to be as nice as you can so people can impart knowledge to you.
Mm.
It don't have to be the book. You could be on a practical job, welding, mechanic work, mm-hmm. Construction. But if you got a steak attitude, they're not going to teach you.
No one want to be around you.
Right.
Right. Mind so I try to tell, and that's why sometimes I would stop teaching what my class was.
Mm.
And just talk to them. And you'll be surprised to hear the things and the questions they ask. I tell them, once you could be civilized, because I had girls in my class too. So you have to respect the young ladies. That's the first thing.
Right.
Respect one another.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to have a good hour just talking to them about life. Because they're all curious about this life. And you see people, they see people out there driving these cars, dressing a certain way. And then TV, like you say, TV's, I think, our worst enemy.
Yes, sir.
Although I watch a lot of TV. But they got the basketball wives. They got these wives. Or these. And they all want to portray these things.
Yeah.
And they would think they deserve to live like that.
Yeah.
And the world hasn't promised you anything. You have to etch a way out and make your way.
You have to make
it. And it takes time, energy, and you have to be around some decent people.
Yes.
Because the fellas on the street want to take you in, And but they, that's a big, they're weak because they need to have all these other people around them. That's the sign of weakness.
Yes, sir.
They
yes.
don't do anything
yes.
on their own.
You're correct, sir.
And no, and these are the kind of things we need to tell the children.
Man. Yes, sir.
Every time I look on the news, I watch TV, they have these lovely seminars or these lovely awards. And nobody is getting down to the root. Like, let's say a day for you, Scrooge, to go into the school.
Yes, sir.
And talk about life. I told them that I was on a show, and I said, people like you,
new friend, Carlos Reed.
52 and C. Allen and the other guy, you all need to lecture at the college. They need to just give you a space in college. So if you're wrong, let the children prove you wrong. And that's the way of learning.
Yes, sir.
Because first of all, you got the experience for the community. So you should be a sociologist.
Yes, sir.
Because you could share more and you know what you're talking about.
Yes, sir.
But we always got these people who ain't never even drink or smoke a joint trying to tell you about the environment you're living in.
Yes, sir.
And they don't even know where the street is. If you ask them where the street, they don't know. Because they live out that way. They don't even come through there.
Yes, sir.
So we trying to say we're helping, but we're not.
Yes, sir.
Because you got the wrong people doing everything in government.
Remember you said we're saying
everything is wrong, right down to finance. The finance world, I don't see how you can spend more than you make. But we in debt for over $10 billion, a little country like this.
Mm-hmm.
How? And we got all these technocrats.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what? They don't want to listen to the small people. Mm-hmm. And I bet you none of them even have a business.
Mm-hmm.
But they're in control of the country
that's
money.
That's right.
They don't have a business.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know how to make, to shuffle money for me. Because once they write down a certain amount on paper, they believe that got to stay there.
Mm-hmm.
And if a deal come up, no, you can't move from there because that it's for that. But sometimes a deal come up where you could get it cheaper or get more out of the money. But they don't know nothing about shuffling money.
Hmm.
And then they steal a lot of it.
Yep.
But anyway, I just wanted to touch on a lot of things.
You touch on a lot of stuff.
I'd like to go into depth more, but I don't want to take up the show.
Thank you very much.
And I enjoy it. Getting around to you, Scrooge, one day I'm going to introduce myself.
Okay, now I can't wait. You ready to go and read Carlos Reed? So,
yeah, like I say, he walked in my establishment. I look on the camera, I say, this Carlos, I just spoke to him, so they tell him I don't like him.
That was good friend, that's good.
And you should hear him calling out my name and all.
That's right.
Hey, yeah, I'm coming now, because I was in the back.
That's what we love to do.
Hey, boy.
We love to bring people together.
He's a nice fellow.
Yeah, it's very nice.
Yeah.
He do his part.
Hey, I feel embarrassed now. But here it is, I like him out. I mean, I didn't like him out. I don't even know.
I'm
embarrassed.
Yeah, yeah. But see, at least you're a bigger man to admit that and say it nationally. You know, that's the biggest. We talk about.
That says volume.
That says volume for what the type of person you are.
Yes.
And
yes,
that's what we need. That's what we need to encourage in the country.
Yes, civility.
Yes.
Anyway, you guys carry on. I hope to meet you one day.
Like, we have to meet.
okay.
Yes, sir. Good night to you. Did a wonderful job and all the callers.
Good night to both of you.
Thank you very much. And enjoyed your comments tonight. You know, I see, Philip, it's very good that we have this conversation. You see a lot of people that partaking in it because it's a very touchy situation. And I want to encourage guys out there, listen, you're coming out of jail and believe your heart head. You ain't going to make it. And listen to me, you ain't getting no insurance, okay? You're costing your lady and your grandmothers all type of money. It's more so how much? $10,000 to bury somebody. You guys don't have $10,000. You know, you guys are doing all this shooting and all this killing and y'all say it's the baddest set of guys around the country. You guys can't even buy your own coffin. You understand? Some of y'all be on ice for 2 months. You know, it costs your grandmother and your family got to go scrap money to go bury it because they don't have it.
And if I love my parents or my family that much, you think I can put them through that stress?
Man, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Come on, man.
So
we got to do better.
And that's why we're saying we want our leaders to focus more attention and have people who know about these type of situation and come up with solutions and put them to the forefront, you know, and let them help some of these young kids and give them the resources to go into these homes, you know, and see what, and not see what the problem is. We know what the problem is when we go there. Just that we have to have the means to be able to execute, knowing that we're going to have to fix the house. We're going to have to be able to help them start their small business. We're going to help them, you know, with their documents, teach them money management, whatever it takes. That's what we're going to have to introduce if we want to change the mindset of this country.
Well, the format is there and it's always been there.
Just that we got to invest.
You know, we just got to invest in the kids. You know, the children are our future.
Okay. So for the people want to talk more about your part of your experience, you know, now you're finished college, okay? Now you went in the field of what it is?
I joined the Navy.
Now, you can't give me no special. I know that you're in the Navy. In the Navy.
Yeah.
So you have a lot of classified information. I'm not going to try pride. I don't know. But what is the difference between the Navy and the Army and Air Force?
Different branches. They all serve one goal.
Mm-hmm.
Serve and protect. You know, it's just things what need to be done.
Mm-hmm.
Different branches is responsible for it.
And not to say about the pay or anything. Don't tell me exactly or how much it was or what. Can I make a good living off being a Navy officer?
It's a career.
Career.
Yes.
And what are some of the benefits getting of being a Navy officer or soldier in the United States of America?
First of all, you get a chance to experience the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you travel the world and, you know, it's a lot of things that they teach you. First of all, you know, back to education.
Mm-hmm.
You could get education through the service mm-hmm. for free.
Any kind of education?
Yes. All you have to do is say,
engineering,
want to go to school. And
so it's more like a college also?
Yeah.
Even though you can...
Well, no, you could tell them, hey, I want to go to school.
Wow.
And you go to school and all you got to do is just serve when you finish your college and your education is paid for.
Wow.
Uncle Sam takes care of all of that.
Wow.
You know, you spend a certain time in the service and...
Like a contract? Like I believe first three years and then you sign a second contract seven years.
Yeah, you like it, you continue, you know... The door is, it's basically up to you what you want to do with it.
Wow.
And they give you the information, and you take it and you run with it.
So how long have you been a Navy officer?
21 years.
21 years. And you rise in the rank, or you decided to...
Well...
Yes.
You start from, basically like a Defense Force, you start with an entry-level position. You just don't become an officer.
You don't just become an officer?
No. No, it doesn't work like that. You have to be invited. You have to be selected.
One second. You don't get to be an officer.
Mm-mm.
So why not we don't implement the same system where when police is in training, before they can be a constable, they have to get invited by having the right attributes?
Well, you got to look at different...
Okay, go. My
different,
bad. Go
different,
ahead.
Different entities.
Okay.
You know, you are... The officer has to be invited to officer candidate in school.
Mm-hmm.
That means someone, there it goes back
recommend.
To leadership. Someone has to see
that's
leadership
right.
in you to say, hey, you can do this job.
That's why, how you were making reference to that. Before you can be a police officer, there's supposed to be a senior officer who see your qualities for you to become an officer. Other than that, you could be disqualified based on your attitude and your attributes towards the program.
Because, you know, when you put that uniform on,
mm-hmm.
you representing the people. That's not your uniform. That's the government uniform.
Mm.
So whatever you do in that uniform...
It's on the government.
It's a reflection. You know, you know, I've seen there police officers,
mm-hmm.
you know, long time ago, you know, was just doing the utmost. The utmost. Oh, I was a police, I could do this.
Mm-hmm.
But now I'm glad that some type of structure now is...
Yeah, they're starting to work on it now, bring the discipline and reprimand now.
Yes.
Because it was too vulgar and too disorganized in this small country, you know? Because I think that officers should have been screened because we all be human. See, this is what I always say. The Bahamas is supposed to be the greatest example for the world. Because we have a country that are governed by a race of people, even though, but the majority of us, you know, we come from
The Bahamas is a mirror.
A mirror.
You have other countries looking at the Bahamas and want to, be like the Bahamas.
You understand? We are power.
But we damaging ourselves.
We damaging ourselves with greed and stupidity and envy and jealousy and fighting against one another, you know? That's why I was talking about the police, you know, harassing a civilian and civilian harassing the police. Or a prisoner officer harassing a prisoner. Because the prisoner, you know, he comes from a home who could be related to the prison officer. So I'm talking about all that, you know, like how we just, you know, when we're supposed to be 10 times better than that, knowing that we are all one people. Yes, we might have people in prison, you know what I mean? And we might have bad prison officers. That don't mean we don't understand that we all are in this country together, and if we don't try to respect one another and get one another to think like we are all brothers and sisters, we're going to continue to have 100 murders per year. That's, we ain't understanding what the problem is, you know? Why do you think when they look at the prison detention record, it always state 1,700. Why it also 1,700? But look at it. Ain't just 1,700, no, Philip. Watch this. Let me show the trick of this. Watch the trick of this. Right now, they say it's about 1,700 inmates in prison. Now they bring it down to about 1,300, right? So 400 probably left. Watch the statistics, Philip. 1,700 people in the prison right now, or 1,300, right?
Mm-hmm.
How many people on remand, right? How many people on bail? Watch this. So if we look at people on bail, I guarantee it's more than 1,700 people on bail in Nassau and Providence. You understand? How many people is on bail for murder? How many people are on bail for armed robbery? How many people are on bail for assault? So even though there's 1,700 people in prison, which they're saying is 1,300 or 1,400 now, but if you look at how many people are in bail for serious offenses in the country, I could say anywhere we have like criminal models could be anywhere from 30,000 or 40,000 cases in this country that cannot be tried because of the backlogging going on in the country right now. You understand? That's how serious it is. So it's not just 1,700. We have to look at the fact that people are on bail for various offenses going dating back 10 years and still on bail that has not faced their criminal charges before the court yet.
That's a wow.
And then with 100 murders every year, you're going to have more backlogging. So if you think we're going to get away in this, for those who are listening, everyone right now, eh, is target practice in this country. Because if you look at the news and see someone getting killed here, someone getting killed. If you add up all those murders over the years, that's basically the whole entire Bahamas family has got hurt or killed or injured in a violent crime in this country in the last 30 years. That's how serious it is.
So basically it's in every home.
Every home. If you look at it, let's look at Lewis Street, Hayes Street, and Taylor Street. I can look down Lewis Street near families who I know who lost loved one. Then we go on Hayes Street, families who lost loved one. Then we go on Taylor Street, families who lost one. You go to Flint Street, families who lost loved one. Then I could go in Bantown and do the same thing. I could go in Mason Addition. It's going crazy in Mason Addition.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? But basically, every family is getting touched in this country, just different time. You know, some get it 10 years or 15 years earlier. Then you have some who just get it now. But if you look at it, door to door, it's like the blood of the Lamb what Christ told Moses, people to put on their door. So when the angel of death
mm-hmm.
passing through, that's like someone is getting killed in each and every household in the country. But it's not like one after the next. It's like years between. So you won't really notice it. But I notice it because I've been living long enough in the community. And I look at it and say, boy, you know something? My friend get killed there. I know the guy who get killed there. I mean, look at it. It's the whole corner. Just put the whole corner.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? So let me get back.
But it goes back to communication.
Yes.
We have to communicate.
Yes.
It has to start somewhere.
Yes. Yes.
You know, locking the brother, putting him in the prison, it's not going to get it.
Mm-mm.
We got to communicate. We have to find a way to reach the kids before it gets to that point.
Art and trades and to the school, small businesses, community centers to be built in the community that teaches
education.
I know
some guys who went to prison.
Mm-hmm.
Went to prison.
Mm-hmm.
And to this day right here.
Changed their life around.
You don't even know they went to prison unless you know their story.
That's right. Because they have
some
a better
life. Some of them
have
their business.
Yes.
Some of them still walking around. You're like, hey, what you talking about? What happened 20 something years ago? They don't forget that. They don't move on. Good. Now, some of them same guys, they still talking and they helping people.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Helping people.
Awesome.
Because they know what they done been through.
Yes. And they don't want the next generation go through it.
We got to start by communicating.
So let me get back to you on your experience. So you did 21 years. You're in the Navy. You have four kids now. What are some of the things you was able to accomplish over there?
Oh, boy. I could write a book.
Write a book.
You know, like I say, you know, education was one that I accomplished. I was able to go in some missions that was really, really a learning experience that opened my eye to the fact that the stuff which you thought
in the movies
would never happen, you are part of it. And the grace of God has brought you back mm-hmm. that you can share it with someone.
Wow.
You know, stuff that I've learned. And that's why I say we have to be able to reach people so that your experience, you can share it with someone.
Mm-hmm.
And so that experience that you share with someone,
trickle
they can
down.
Take it down, down to someone else.
Trickle it down, trickle it down.
You know, I never thought, young boy coming from Ross Corner, never thought I would have been able to travel the world.
Mm-hmm. I never thought you'd get off Nassau. Mm-hmm. You
never.
Oh, you get a police record, bro. I believe you want to talk about this corruption?
Never, never, never.
You laugh?
Never, never. Listen. Listen. See that same scared tactic program?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I'll never forget. I did that with Califani.
Uh-huh.
They took but 10 of us to the prison.
Mm-hmm.
When Califani used to do it.
Yeah.
And when we walk in the prison, when I hear them doors slam behind me, I turn and look back and I ain't never coming back here. Never. Never.
Never.
And I clean myself up.
You know what I'm going to say? No, I ain't saying that. That's good. Okay. That's the call on the line. We're going to take this last call tonight. And then we're going to continue the show. And then we have about 5-6 more minutes. And then we're going to close it out. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Go ahead, caller. And the phone line's lighting up. Go ahead, caller. Good night.
Hey, Scrooge. What's happening, my brother?
Everything all right?
Been listening to this program all night. And to you, my good brother, Philip.
Hey.
Hope all is well.
Yes, sir.
Listen, let me just drop a couple of good small nuggets here for us to consider going forward.
Yes, sir.
In terms of nation building and changing the trajectory that mm-hmm. this country is in pertaining as it pertains to our people. First and foremost, we need to look at our education system
mm-hmm.
and we need now to start introducing some unorthodox programs mm-hmm. in our education system, starting from bringing in some of the people from the streets in these classrooms
yeah.
to really talk to these students, to let them know, or the youngsters, to let them know what life is like really out there, and that the life or the path that many of them appear to be on because of their living situations, because a lot of them come from broken homes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes.
A lot of them come from parents who are fighting in the household, cursing, cussing and swearing and doing all kind of stuff. As I said to someone no earlier than maybe about 20 minutes ago, all of these children you see out here doing these unusual things, you need to go and check their homes.
Yeah.
Because these are learned experiences.
Yes, sir.
And if we could start with the home, fixing the home in terms of, you know, let it start from the parents. Maybe it's a single parent home. Maybe it's a home that has both parents in it, but they have major conflicts in the home. We need to get these interventions in the home so it would help the children to understand and turn out to change their attitude to a better level than just leaving them to try and solve things for themselves and get into all kind of problems. So it starts from there.
Correct.
The numeracy and literacy standpoint of it, I don't think our educational system is doing sufficient. And,
yes,
and oft times now a lot of us believe that it is deliberate. I believe that, you know, to understand how to use money, what money is for, and so on and so forth, should be taught from the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
Let it start from grade school,
yes,
bring
sir.
It straight up,
Yes.
Some of these programs that you're talking about, street life and stuff, these need to be taught in the classrooms.
Yes, yes, sir.
Bring some of these persons, even if you don't agree with the lifestyles that they would have had in the past, but now they have cleaned up themselves and brought themselves into what we call civilized society.
Transition.
I believe that we can turn a lot of these children around.
I agree with you, sir.
And as you so rightfully said in closing, the television is our worst enemy.
Yes.
Because when we were growing up, our programs were censored.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We didn't have all this violence on TV. We didn't have all this cursing on TV. Oh. I mean, as simple as talking about a feminine product like a tampon. That we couldn't even watch that.
Right.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You see? So what we have done is we have sacrificed civility as we know it, those who were born in the 60s and 70s, who were shielded away from something. Some children don't need to know about some of these things.
Yeah, you, I agree.
Until a little later on. But what we have done,
yes, sir,
we've opened the market up, teaching them and letting them see all these things.
Yes, sir.
And their young minds cannot appreciate or accept what they are seeing and what they're hearing. So we got to get back to the old basics.
Yes, sir.
And because it worked for us.
Yes, sir.
To be honest with you. So if it worked for us,
it could work
I'm not
you.
Saying that everybody will turn out to obey the law and this, that, and that.
But the majority.
But the possibility or the probability
the majority,
of them obeying the law is much greater than just leaving them alone to their own things.
Because they ain't working right now. They're making some bad decisions and costing everyone right now. You're right, sir.
And let me just close on this one. You talk about the politicians, the lawmakers. Many of the lawmakers are the lawbreakers.
Yes, sir.
They're supposed to be setting the example for society to follow. And many of them are simple as following the rules of law.
Yeah.
Disclosing their assets.
Yes, they have not done
that. They have broken that law. So how could you come to the general public and talk about you are a lawmaker and a law-abiding citizen when you're breaking the very laws that you are supposed to follow along with the rest of us?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So there are so many components here that can be considered. But the sad reality is, it seems deliberate that they don't want to solve nothing. It's all a bunch of lip service and no action.
Yes,
we have to fix this country.
Yes, sir.
Thanks for taking my call, Scrooge.
Yes, sir. You did an awesome job. I know Bremen mentioned what you mentioned earlier. You know, he talking about the lawmakers being the lawbreakers, you know. So that verified that. And yes, like he said, you know, that's the situation in our country. We have to take this matters really, really serious. Because, listen, like I said, everyone is getting touched in this country. We ain't getting touched at one time. But eventually, listen, people. Eventually, all of us could feel it. And then we're going to become a disgruntled, unruly, disrespectful, like what we're becoming, you know, unpatriotic. Eh? We're becoming, what you call it now, where many of our females and males are turning in.
Flipping.
You know, we don't know when you speak the truth. The truth now is wrong. No one wants to hear the truth, you know. And that's the kind of society we're going to have. And you know what comes with punishment, right? Because the further we move away from God's commandment, the further we fall into despair, poverty, crime, and chaos. You know, so we have to take matters very seriously and try to correct the problem. And that's why in the next generation, with a better future and better leaders, and teach them that love is the key, and that we as citizens be careful of them, not by talking, but by our actions.
Actions, yes, 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 yes.
Okay.
And I really, really feel as though if we just reach out to a child and stare a child
in the right direction,
that would be a trickle effect.
Yes, and that's what we have to do.
That's what we have to do. We can't just say, hey, come this way and go this way and do this way and run this way. No, we just have to tap into their minds and find out what's going on and try to help them as much as we can.
Well,
that's the best thing we could do.
You know, you mentioned earlier on the show, and you talked about community centers, and you talked about those who probably have these programs but use it for their own benefits. you know, and instead of them really want to help individuals who are part of these non-profit organizations, they're using it to their benefit, even though you say they might want to help, you know. And let me show you how you're so true in what you're saying. And that's why I'm the opposite of what you said. Okay, in the community of Lewis Creek, we have two state-of-the-art community centers that we are building. One is a culinary community center that's going to be built on Hayes Creek. It's going to teach the community, the kids, the teenagers, and older people how to cook Indian, Chinese, or, I mean, what you call it? Orient, all kind of different cultures, different set of food. And that's going to be established to give those who live in the community an opportunity to pick up a trade that is going to be very beneficial to them. And in that community center that's going to be built on Hayes Creek, also will be given out scholarship funds, so you could start your own small business probably wherever you're going to start. Then on Lewis Creek, we have the Lenahan second phase of a $1 million, actually $800,000 community center. I'm one of the founding members along with Lucas Metropolis, Mr. Ed Dorsett of East Creek Gospel Chapel Church, Ms. Sheila Pritchett, and numerous sponsors like the Bacardi family, the Brent Simonet families, my good friends, the Melis family, my friend Antonio Roberts, who's a part of the great organization. Even though I'm one of the founding members and the group came to assist the needs of the community on my behalf, I don't act like a boss. I don't act like I'm better than somebody. I don't use the benefit of kids to my personal funds are given to the organization, and this funds is go directly to all the kids, to the grown-ups in the community, because I understand the importance of having a center. I understand that me as an individual would not be able to get the partnership and commitment unless I have a team of people working with me. And for them to work with me, I have to be an open person where I can be able to work with them and they feel comfortable working with me and they trust me and they believe in me. That's why Lenahan is being so functional and so successful. Because even though I'm the leader, I am not the leader where I'm taking responsibility. It's all of our job. And one thing I wanted to do was to get people from around the country. I wanted to get people like Ms. Pritchett. I wanted to get like the Simonettes. I wanted to get like the Moscows, you know? You know, we live in the Bahamas, and that's why I say we have the greatest country in the world, you know? And I always wanted to break that gap where we have a particular white community that donates directly for many years to many different organizations, but it has not been hitting the community directly. So I was able to forge a partnership with Lucas Metropolis, Sheila Pritchett, so that they could be the partnership we could form, and they could be the beacon to speak to their people in their past to get people to come and invest. And right, I'm talking about the white community. Right. And right now, that philosophy of being not selfish, not boastful, not showing off, and I'm the easiest person to get along. That's why everyone like me. And that's why we're making so much success with the organization Lenahan Mamas. Now we're on the face now to build a brand new community center worth over $1 million that is going to be teaching maths, English, technology you can't even imagine.
Right.
Sean Connery, the family of Sean Connery has also donated to the face of the new community center. We got $1 million from FTX, and when they collapsed, that $1 million got put on a hold. That's there. We used other sponsors we got from the Bacardi families and stuff like that, who live here in the country, who know me personally and know Lucas and Lucas Welch. And they're giving back to the community. And you said, you know, that's what the community center for. Teach them money management, teach them business, teach them trade, sewing, electronics, fixing phone, so many different programs. So many kids are going off. Some must get adopted. And it's changing the concept of our community. And that's what a person who cares about his community does. It's not about him.
Right.
You know?
Right. You have to be able to show what you're doing.
That's right. And that's
make it make sense.
Yeah. That's
But let me ask you a quick question. If someone is not a part of the community, would they be allowed?
Of course.
Yes.
We been.
There's no closed door.
There's no closed door.
Correct.
It's not because not because you're from Mason or Benzon. No, it's open to you.
That's awesome.
It's open.
That's
anyone want help with education? Need document signed. We have Ed Dorsett, who is a senior pastor at East Street Gospel, and he is a what you call JP, and he's assisted in this type of way. You know, so we are coming together to help those who do your paperwork in the community. You know, because we have Haitian nationals who are there, and you know they're stagnated, but at the same time they're part of the community.
Right.
And my job is not to discriminate.
Everyone needs help.
Everyone needs help. You understand? That's what we're doing. That's what Lena and Obama is all about. So it's like that. You want to say anything before we close up?
Well, I just want to thank you for allowing me on the show. And, you know, it was great. Everything we talked about, it's just about these kids. Let's just go ahead and find a way that we could help these kids, get them off the street in any which way we can. Even if just encouraging words, you know, a pair of shoes, whatever they needed, whatever we could do to get positive actions out of these kids to avoid them from going to prison, let's just do it. Everybody got to chip in with it.
You know, I rubbed this in before I go. You know, I see you on Facebook and look like you are this big, long auntie tank. Man, what it was, a 50 cali.
It was, yeah.
That was a 50 cal. So what range does that 50 cal?
Well, you wouldn't want to know.
How far?
It goes up to, well, 365 yards.
See, not 365 yards is what, a mile, 2 miles?
It, 2 miles.
2 miles. What's the size of the bullet?
About the size of...
But this mic?
A little bit smaller.
Man, holy crap.
A bit smaller.
So did the kind of artillery use be carrying?
Well, we have different weapons we carry, but I don't carry weapons anymore.
Okay.
I don't carry weapons no more. That's past my pay grade.
Past your pay grade. Okay.
You know, I'm powerful with the pen.
This person says, yeah, good night, Mr. Brown. Just became full and don't mention FBF now because he is in God now. He's in God? What do you mean he's got everyone? I mean, everyone knows he's in God. And the world knows that he got convicted. This is news to everyone. I understand what you're trying to say, but this is news to everyone. He was in court. He got brought guilty for 7 criminal fraud charges. So this is known to everyone. You can go on Facebook. So, you know, I can mention this. I can mention this because the world knows this. So I appreciate what you said. You don't want America coming after my America can't come off this money because let me explain something to you. I mean, charity work. If a company at FTX comes to the country and as part of their giving back, they look for organization to give donations to because that's what they do. Non-profit organization or any company that comes to the bomb. It's not the fault of Lena and Bahamas receiving money from FTX. It's the fault of the Bahamas government. It's the fault of the United States financial sector. It's the fault of the Bahamas financial sector for letting the money, from letting the FTX come in the country and then going looking for sponsors to give back. It's the fault of them. So they're not going to come after, if they're going to come after somebody, they have to go after the U.S. financial sector. They have to go after the Bahamas financial sector. And then they have to go after the Bahamas government before they ever could come to get charity from small organization like Lawrence Roll Sick. Y'all listen, Lawrence Roll get his money. Lawrence Roll Sick. The money gone. The money gone. Right? The money gone. So if you can't get him launched, what you talking about? The money gone. I love Lawrence Roll. Last call. Call up. You're by the second place. We really got to go. Go ahead, call up. Real quick.
Hello.
Yeah, go. You got to make it real quick.
You know this Scrooge?
Yes, sir.
Well, you know this is, eh?
Who this is?
Well, it's your boy Spock, you know.
Yeah, what's up, Spock?
Hey, look at Scrooge. You know where I am?
Where he is?
Man, I out by Gambia, out by Aquafire.
He can show off, boy. This is the next one, yeah. Go ahead, Spock.
Hey, look at Scrooge. Scrooge is here. I out by Aquafire, man.
Uh-huh.
And I might as well tell you, y'all be hearing people... you better start learning and enjoy life, you know.
Yeah, that's you doing it biggish, it's Mark.
Look here, look here, Mark. Much closer here. I sick and tired. I like the commission. I like the Speaker House Assembly. I sick and tired of hearing people complaining and crying for their bill. Go pay your bill or cut your light off. That's what the Speaker said.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
All right, Bob. Screw that. That hate me so bad. Cause that Speaker, that Speaker is a sell hot dog. The Speaker, who is a sell hot dog? Now she's the Speaker to me. Sparky, stop crying. Go pay your bill. I said, but I ain't got no money to buy the corned beef and the grill. How the hell I can make a light, man? That's the Speaker. We used to sell hot dogs now.
Yes, sir. She can be successful now.
But, now, I down by Aquafire.
Yes, sir. What you doing down there? Because we really got time.
Hold on. Let me go quick now.
Yes, sir.
I found out I got a couple of dollars to live on, and I got a friend that having a birthday party.
Okay.
So I told them I will treat them out by Aquafire and Gambia.
Wow.
To have in some drinks and some.
Hey, we need
one
to,
of them.
We need to try. Philip, we need to try. We need to try. Go there. Let's party. Buy some drink too.
Hold on. They tell me. Hold on. Scoot.
Go ahead.
The poison I take it out, I can only afford from bamboo shack or thing. They want something down there called a griot.
Griot. Yeah, that's griot pork.
I say, what a griot is.
That's griot pork.
They say that's a Haitian.
Yeah, pickle is, but it tastes good. It tastes good. I ain't gonna lie. It tastes good.
I say, but all I want is two Guinness.
Two Guinnesses.
And I can pay for everything for your party tonight. I only want the dog on, go to the dog on mic for the DJ to say.
To do what, Sparky?
Sparky did it his way. Scooch.
Yes, sir.
Scooch.
Yes, sir.
Scooch.
Hey.
Before you go out to all them shit, excuse me,
you're
all the things you've been through?
Yes, sir.
I've been doing that a long time.
I believe you.
Sparky, what you do now?
Yes, sir.
I don't drink three Guinness.
Uh-huh.
And I head into this place called Aquafire.
Yeah, I hope you ain't drinking and driving. I can tell you.
No.
Speed
no,
cop, you hear him? Speed
no,
cops,
no,
you all
no,
listen.
No,
hear
no,
you.
No.
To the roadblock. To the roadblock, and you drinking Guinness.
Good.
Yes, sir, yes, sir.
Good.
Yes, sir.
I'm chauffeur driven tonight.
Okay. Designated driver.
And guess what?
You late show up. You late show up, Spock.
Hold on, Scrooge.
Hey.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
I don't drink three Guinness on the way here.
Uh-huh.
When I go into Paul McQueenie place called Aquafire.
Yeah.
From the night on, it's hog head.
Enjoy a night, Sparky, man. Enjoy a night. Let's give it up to Sparky. You too, man, Sparky.
Tell the behaving people, man, just enjoy life, man.
Y'all listen.
Enjoy. Stop killing up one another.
Yes, sir.
Enjoy life.
Yes.
And remember, don't follow these politicians.
Yes, sir.
Don't follow these religious leaders. Because guess what? All they want is your money.
And your voting.
So they can live with money. So they can live good on your dough and hard-earned money to send their children off to the best universities and everything. And all they want to do is sucker you.
Yeah, what are you? Thank you very much, Sparky. We'll see you next week. You know, Sparky is very passionate, yes. I want to thank my good friend, Philip Cry. He did a wonderful job. I want again, congratulate his mom on what, 98, 98, 91? 98 birthday. And mom, there's some works coming around in the community. You could check with Salem Union Baptist Church, home repair, bulk waste. You could check with Salem Union Baptist Church. You need a dialect vehicle to remove. You could also check with Salem Union Baptist Church. They'd give you the information. So in the next 2 to 3 weeks, we do a complete cleanup of the constituency of Lewis Creek, Hay Street, Taylor Street, and the side corners, in conjunction with the Ministry of Environment, the community, and Salem Union Baptist Church. And again, I want to thank my friend Philip Cryer. He did a wonderful job. You know, he's traveling from the U.S. He's a part of the U.S. Navy. I can't give you so much information. You know, he didn't want to tell us. You know, he told me around this. So, where are you going from here?
I guess I head back out soon. Back to New Orleans.
New Orleans. That's where you're stationed.
Yeah, back to New Orleans.
And last but least, we talked. You had a few properties that you had in the state. You still have those? Oh, sorry. You don't go into all that. I want to say that's too personal. But anyway, I just hope that everyone listening had a wonderful time listening to the show. And just remember that this show is for the Bahamian people. We talk about the problems. We talk about the story. We talk about the solutions. And we bring up the conversation because we need to bring up these conversations that are invisible in order to change the mindset. And for people out there to understand that, you know, hey, that we have brothers and sisters out there. And if we could give a helping hand and lead in any type of way possible, let's do that. Let's get the Bahamas the way it's supposed to be, where we have a society of people who are looking to achieve their loftier goal, like our national anthem says.
Correct.
Okay?
Correct.
And I want to thank my friend Philip Cryer. He did a wonderful job. Again, to his mom, I want to give a shout out to my good friend again, Diana Knowles, Mrs. Diana Knowles, one of my good listeners. Thank you very much for listening to me every week. I really appreciate it. And to our son, again, Mr. Sean Knowles. Okay? I want to say thank you for listening to Guardian Radio. And to everyone who tuned in to Inside In the City on a Friday, I appreciate each and every one of you. And tonight's sponsors is Drifters. Okay, I forget. Tonight's show is sponsored by Drifters. It's a restaurant, Old Fish Fry. You can get some of the best steamed fish, Kong salad. Some of the nicest daiquiris. They have some of the most nicest employees, some of the most nicest food that you can imagine. So if you're Old Fish Fry, stop by Drifters, okay? The owner of that particular nightclub is Cardo. And then if you want some more delicious food, check out our good friend, Scrubber. We call it Joey's Restaurant and Bowl Fish Fry. You know, Bahamian oriented, Drifters, and Joey's, you know, price is reasonable. Food tastes delicious. Nice fried fish, steam conch, you know, crack conch, you know, burgers, you know, Bahamian conch fritters. So, yes, sponsored by Drifter tonight. And I want to say to my good friend, Cardo, owner of Drifters, thank you very much for sponsoring the show. And to each and every one of you, drive safe. And like Sparky say, enjoy yourself tonight. I'm your host, Valentino O'Brien. Also, the talk show Inside In the City. We'll see you next week on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
La 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 la. Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Baton, bro. Boy, I from Baton, bro.